Okay, so we'll chant the prayers of departed Vaishnavas, then I'll speak a little bit. I'm not going to speak a lot. I spoke quite a bit this morning, and it's my talk is on Facebook and also on my YouTube channel, and it's also I spoke quite a bit last night. We had a memory session last night. So today I'm just going to read something from Bhakti Churu Maharaj's statement about why he left this world. Actually, he explains it in one of his statements, which is very interesting. And then also a letter that I wrote to be posted, that is posted. Let me get this on a look. That is posted on Facebook and maybe on the GBC page or something like that, that I just wrote upon his passing. So, getting the songbook. Yeah, he'll get it. I mean, don't worry. So, it's, one sense it's nice to see everybody here, and another sense it's sad that we all had to gather for this particular occasion. But for a Vaishnava leaving this world, it is not lamentable for him. It is lamentable for us. Because as Prabhupada spoke, that when there is a pure devotee, they can either be in this world or not be in this world. In other words, there's that whole story that Prabhupada told about the sage who was giving benedictions to different persons. And there was a butcher, and the sage benedicted the butcher, "Don't live and don't die." And the sage benedicted the king, "Long live the king, don't die." Because when the king died, he would be in trouble. And the sage benedicted the brahmachari, "Die immediately." Because if someone's a brahmachari and they die immediately, they at least go to the heavenly planets, which is not our goal anyway. And then he benedicted the devotee, "You can either live or die." In other words, you can be here or whatever. And that's brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the story, Lord Shiva states, "Narayana paraksa reina kutashina viviti swarga bhavarga natakeshu apitulyartha darshana." Wherever the Narayana parayana devotee is, Narayana parayana means the devotee who is a pure devotee, swarga bhavarga, he's in heaven, he's in hell, and he's doing the same thing. He's serving Krishna and preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave the example. It's a typical Indian example of a wheat threshing machine. He said, wherever you send it, that's all it can do, thresh wheat. So pure devotee, wherever he goes, he's doing the same thing. So for those of us who are not purified, wherever we go, we can be in trouble. But for a pure devotee, wherever he goes, he's engaged in Krishna's service and serving his spiritual master. So first we'll chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas. This is Saparshana Gaura Viraha Vilapa, written by Narottama Das Thakur. So, can you follow on the harmonium, or is there a key that's better for you than any key? Yeha nilo prema dana Orna prajo he no prabhu kota gela acharya Daku Kahamura Sarukrupa Kahasanata Sarupa Kahasanata Dadasa Raghunatha Patita Pavavaho. Duka Kahakavira Ekakave Kotagela Koranatara Ashane Kutivo Namata Anule Vasivo. Goranga Kunera Nite Kota Gele Pavo. Se Sabat Sangira Sange Ye koilo bilas, ye koilo bilas, se sangana pae yakande naruto oda. Anilo Premadana Koruna Prachu Koruna Prachu Jaya Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Jaya Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Jaya Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Jaya Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur. Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur. Shri Bhakti Chiru Maharaj Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I'll just read the translation of this poem by Narottama Das Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Om Ganat Mrandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unhitam Yena Tasmai Shikarve Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who had so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge when I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So I would like to read an offering that Srila Bhakti Churu Maharaj wrote that very much is connected with his leaving this world. And we know when a pure devotee leaves this world, it is not under the force of the material energy. As Krishna says in the Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yomete tatvataha, that Krishna's appearance and activities and birth, he calls birth, but appearance and disappearance and activities are all transcendental, and one who understands that does not have to take birth again in this material world. So it is the same when we're dealing with Krishna's devotees too. We should not ascribe any material cause, whether we're talking about karma or we're talking about health or doctors or anything like that, to a pure devotee's departure. It is done simply at the behest of the pure devotee and at the will of the Supreme Personality, Godhead Krishna. And to prove that, I'm going to read something that Srila Bhakti Churu Maharaj wrote, and it's quite touching. This is his memory of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, it's an offering to Srila Prabhupada. One day you asked me not to cook for you, saying, he's referring to Prabhupada right now, saying, you can see that I can't eat anything. Still, why are you cooking? You have so many things to do. Why are you wasting your time cooking for me? I told you, and that's Bhakti Churu Maharaj speaking, I cook, hoping that someday you will feel better and would like to eat something. You replied, I will get better only when I leave this world. This is Prabhupada speaking. I broke down crying. In a very soothing voice you said, is this what you have learned from me? Is this what I taught you? Didn't I teach you that the spirit soul is immortal and never changing? It is only the body that changes and finally dies when the soul leaves the body. When you left this planet, Bhakti Maharaj is speaking again, those instructions remained as my guiding beacon. Although my heart ached with constant agony due to your separation, I tried to remember that you were always there. At that time, I used to imagine that just like as a mother sometimes hides while teaching her son to walk, urging him to start walking by searching for her. Similarly, you are hiding behind some invisible curtain so that I will search for you and thus develop my ardent desire to go where you are. Those days, I used to think I had so many things to do here. Therefore, I needed to stay. This is Bhakti Churu Maharaj speaking, of course. Now that I've done whatever you wanted me to do, please allow me to go back to you. You've already called back so many of your dear children. Now please allow me to have this good fortune. A very heavy statement, because he's actually asking to leave this world to be with Prabhupada. And there are other devotees who made a similar request. This morning I was talking about Bhakti, not Bhakti Chiyotamaraj. I was talking this morning about Jayananda Prabhu, my dear god brother, who is famous for starting Ratha Yatras everywhere. And he prayed to Prabhupada that he wanted to leave the planet before Prabhupada would leave the planet, so he could actually be ready to serve Prabhupada during Prabhupada's next group of pastimes. And so Prabhupada fulfilled, and Krishna fulfilled his will, his wish, by allowing him to pass away. Even though one may say that he passed away due to leukemia, he actually passed away because of Krishna's will, so he could join Prabhupada. And it's the same thing with Bhakti Churu Maharaj. He passed away because he wanted to be with Prabhupada. And Haridas Thakur is a very similar thing, that Haridas Thakur did not want to see the final pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Finally, I'm going to read something I wrote that I posted on the internet. It's my own statements, and probably not the best of English, although English is my native language. Today is a day of intense mourning, the day that Srila Bhaktisrila Maharaj has left this mortal world and has gone to serve as divine grace Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. For a pure devotee such as Bhaktisrila Maharaj, there is no lamentation as he is continuing his service in another location. However, for those of us who will be bereft of his association, it is hard to imagine continuing our lives without him. Maharaj was my dearest friend. Once a devotee inquired for me as to who was my closest friend in this world, and I immediately replied, Bhaktisrila Maharaj. When Bhaktisrila Maharaj heard my reply from that devotee, tears came to his eyes. In my personal will and healthcare power of attorney, I have listed Maharaj as the person who would legally be in charge of deciding about my health care if I happen to be incapacitated, as well as the person who would be the executor of my will. So Maharaj is one of Srila Prabhupada's eternal associates. There are many proofs of this. Almost immediately upon personally meeting Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave him both initiations, and then 3 months later gave him sannyas and posted him as his personal secretary for the India mission. Prabhupada recognized Bhaktisrila Maharaj upon that first meeting. Then, during the final days of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, Bhaktisrila Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj were the ones who Srila Prabhupada most trusted to care for him. Aside from his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisrila Maharaj is the most cultured person I have ever encountered. By his example and precepts, one can learn the finer points of Vaishnava etiquette. When one is with Maharaj, one experiences the same cares that one would get from a loving mother or father. Whenever I was with Maharaj, I felt like a bull in a china shop in comparison. In other words, bull in a china shop, you may not be aware of that particular expression. Someone who is really not cultured. Because a bull in a china shop destroys all the china. It is amazing that Maharaj tolerated me as a friend with all my rough edges. That is an attestation to his unlimited compassion. Above all is Bhaktisrila Maharaj's dedication to the mission of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Continually, he stressed the importance of being loyal to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's society. He was always willing to forgo his own plans in order to serve Srila Prabhupada's society in accordance with the direction of the GBC. This was clearly shown by his requesting his godbrothers on the GBC to decide on the course of his medical treatment. He is the personification of Srila Prabhupada's wish that all of us lovingly cooperate. I can truly say that he is an ISKCON man, and this is the same as saying he is a Prabhupada man. By Prabhupada's grace, I had Maharaj's association, and I am sure that by Prabhupada's grace, I will have it once again as we are eternal brothers. Our physical separation is only temporary. By my being engaged in serving Prabhupada's mission, which is the most dear thing to Maharaj's heart, I can always have his association and the association of all our brothers and sisters. I pray to Srila Prabhupada that somehow or other, I will be able to manifest some of the good qualities that Bhaktisrila Maharaj always displayed in order to help others come to Prabhupada's mission. I also pray that I can be of some service to Bhaktisrila Maharaj's disciples, Dear Krishna Das Goswami. So that's all I have to say. So then we can have other people speak. Yeah, you should definitely purify the microphone. What's that?
Anyone?
We've got another Prabhupada disciple there. So.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastabhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Pastachade Satarane. For the last 15 years, I've been residing in Sri Dhammayapur during the what is called the peak season. It's like October through March. I haven't seen cold weather in quite a while. Well, it gets a little cold in Mayapur, but not like here. And because Bhakti True Maharaj is so, he was intimately connected with Mayapur, he would come and go periodically. And there's like a special meeting place in Mayapur for the God Brothers. It's around Tulsi Devi, after Mangal Arati. All the Prabhupada disciples gather around Tulsi Devi, and Bhakti True Maharaj, when he would come, he would exchange greetings with every one of us. I don't think that there's anyone that I know of that harbored like ill feelings towards Maharaj, because he's such a gentleman. He might not agree with somebody, but he expressed it in such a gentlemanly way that there's no, you know, someone who had a disagreement with him wouldn't be offended by him. So this is like Maharaj Yudhisthira. He never saw anyone as an enemy. Although some people saw him as an enemy, he never saw anyone as an enemy, and was very kind and respectful to everyone. So Bhakti True Maharaj is similar. And I just learned, I think yesterday, that he received his first and second initiation on Gaur Purnim Day, 1977, in Mayapur. And I received my second initiation on that same day. So we were in the fire sacrifice together. I didn't know that before. Ordinarily, we look around and we see our God brothers and God sisters, and we kind of like say, okay, well, I've been around 5 years, and you know, he or she's been around for 3, so I'm senior to her or him, because I've been around a little bit longer. But although I was maybe around a little bit longer than Bhakti True Maharaj, I would never dream of thinking myself superior to him in any way, shape, or form. For he's a personification of good manners, gentle behavior, and devotion to Srila Prabhupada. There's something to be said for those of us who take to the process of devotional service and never look back. There's no, you know, thinking, well, maybe there is some pleasure in this material world, and kind of like step back from devotional service and maybe still engage in devotional service, but in a more like diluted way. Bhakti True Maharaj, he just plunged forward steadily, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for basically 45 years. So this is like a significant portion of his life. Only his youth, he was not directly engaged in devotional service, so to speak, and under the direction of Srila Prabhupada. So it's not surprising to see so many people here lamenting that he has left our association, because he was dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. And if you're dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, you're dedicated to Krishna. And if you're dedicated to Krishna, you take on Krishna's qualities by association. And Bhakti Chumaraj was such a gentleman. I mean, it was like, sometimes I look back at my past and how I act, and I lament how I wish I could just act properly and be a gentleman and not be so affected by, you know, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, you know, and so on and so forth. Whereas Bhakti Chu Maharaj was even keel and went through his life in a Krishna conscious way, you know, through all the ups and downs, all the upheavals, and always preached, stay with ISKCON, dedicate your life to Srila Prabhupada. He's all of our gurus. He never put himself on a pedestal. He always put Srila Prabhupada on the pedestal. And in this way, went through his life and achieved what he felt he wanted to achieve, and prayed for Prabhupada to bring him back to him. So this is an exemplary life of an ideal Vaishnava, and which is an ideal servant of his spiritual master, something that we can, someone we can look to follow and bow down to and pray to for our own purification. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Bhakti Churu Maharaj ki.
When did you write that
awesome? I'd have to check. I just pulled it out. It's in the Veda base. It's actually, that offering is in the Veda base. 2012. You decide. Sad, we want to say thank you. Yeah, the Prabhupada disciples first.
Yesterday, when I heard about Bhakti Chiru Maharaj's departure, I really wanted to hear from him. So I went on YouTube and I looked at his classes, and there is one class that he gave 2 weeks ago on the 14th of January. On the 14th of June. And the way he was speaking, it's a very sad class, actually. But he was, the title is, he helped us, he was speaking about Srila Prabhupada, he taught us, or he helped us, or he showed us how to conquer over death. And he explains his assisting Srila Prabhupada at that time, and he clarifies some point, and his whole mood is like he is saying goodbye to everyone. And because, I mean, when I was listening to that class, I thought he knew. It was very clear for him. And it's very touching, and it deepened my relationship with him. Another thing that I want to share is that last week I was speaking with Kirtida Sundari Mataji in the Pujari room, and she asked me how, because it was right before the departure, and she was very much in anxiety and worry, and she said, you went through that, and of course it was very difficult. But she asked me how we pulled through. And of course we, you know, I talked about following the instruction of Srila Prabhupada as much as we can, assisting in his mission. But there is one thing that I want to share that helped me so much. Because at that time, I was going on book distribution all day. And it was difficult. And every day I would sit down when it was getting too difficult. And I would write a letter to Srila Prabhupada. And that was after Srila Prabhupada's departure, so of course, you know. But there was always an answer from Srila Prabhupada. There was always, I was able to pick up strength. I was able to remember Krishna. I was able to go on after that I read. Sometimes I did it twice a day. But it pulled me through. It actually made my relationship with Srila Prabhupada a lot closer. And the letters, probably they probably were a lot of repetition. But they helped me so much. I just wanted to share that. Hare Krishna.
Go to my Facebook page right now. Because I'm going to close the Zoom. You go to the Facebook page, you'll be able to see what's happening. Another piece of beer.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Charu Swami Iti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Varanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vashyatasha Tanine. First of all, I would like to offer my respect and my condolences to all the disciples and well-wishers. And I personally have always felt a part of Srila Bhakti Chu Swami's family. And because, as we've heard, by his loving nature, his feeling of inclusion, his reaching out, his kindness. And I've had many different realizations the last few days in the midst of an ocean of tears, and one of those is how Srila Bhakti Chu Swami has created this wave. Like we hear about Lord Chaitanya would create this like wave of the chanting of the holy name, and Srila Bhakti Chu Swami has created this wave of thousands and thousands of devotees just focusing on chanting of the holy name and praying and coming together. And we all go through different difficulties at times in our devotional service. And myself also, I've been around a long time and there's been ups and downs. And when I went through some difficulties, Srila Bhakti Chu Swami, he was always there. And one instruction that he gave me, which I hold to my heart, he said, no matter how you feel in the boat, don't jump off Prabhupada's boat. He said, if you just stay with Prabhupada in the boat, everything will work out. So when I think about Chaitanya Swami, everybody who knows me knows that I think about singing and dancing and Ujjain and beauty and sweetness. So I was telling my dear Radhika today that we should also meditate on the sweetness of the experiences that we've had with him. You know, the kind words that he said, the beautiful bhajans that he sung. So as he was getting ready to leave this world, at the same time, we've been studying the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are in the 10th canto, chapter 18, which is the slaying of Palambasura, and it's also the summer season. And so in that, there's a description of Vrindavan, and Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys, they're all entering into Vrindavan. And it explains how beautiful is Vrindavan with the beautiful waterfalls and the cooling of the cooling is coming from the spray of the waves of the river, because the river is spraying water on the banks. And as I was reading that, I was thinking that somehow or other, you know, Maharaj is being called to that world. He's being called to that world. Prabhupada is calling him to that world. And I was remembering that, because every time he had a retreat, I managed to somehow go. I even went twice to the Ramayana, like once in Ujjain and three times actually, somehow all over the place, because I just wanted to be in his association. Because to be in the association of a great devotee, which we should never take for granted, it's like the dust particles that come, the saffron dust particles, and just to be in their association, one is feeling enthusiasm. And so Maharaj, he told me one time, he said, I give all these different seminars and all these different topics, but he said, but my favorite is to talk about Krishna. So he gave many beautiful seminars of Krishna and Vrindavan. And when he would give those seminars, you could feel how much love he had for Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And so I was meditating that, although I don't understand what's going on, and there were so many different thoughts in my head, but I was thinking, I'm here seeing with my material vision, because I'm covered by the modes of nature, but Maharaj is, like, he's already, like, doing something there, you know, he's already there, Prabhupada is showing him. So that gave me great, great happiness to actually see it in that way, although I couldn't see it, although I was blind. And then I meditated on how I'm blind, but, you know, Srila Bhakti Chuswami, he's not blind, and those that are following Srila Prabhupada, they're not blind. So at a time like this, it's a time that we pray to surrender more, to follow the instructions that are given to us by our spiritual master, and to know that they come here to call us to that beautiful place, that beautiful world that is awaiting for us. And at the same time, there's no way that we can't experience lamentation and sadness. So we have to cry, but that crying actually will bring us closer to Krishna. That crying will bring us closer to our spiritual master. So I am personally, like, extremely, extremely grateful and have so much gratitude that, like, as Maharaj was saying, how he was like a bull in a china doll. So I was thinking, like, how did someone like me, you know, from such a low-class background, come in contact with such a high-class person? And I also wanted to mention one other point that is very important. As we sit here now, we're sitting at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. So I wanted to remind all of you that Maharaj lived here. Radha Raman was here at that time, and different devotees. Maharaj lived here and in Durham, and he came all the time to see Radha Golokananda. And he has great love for Radha Golokananda. And he always encouraged the devotees to come here and to serve Radha Golokananda. So I feel completely strong in my heart that when you go on that altar or you come to the temple and you do some service here, that you can also associate with him here, because the spiritual master is always present in the Holy Dham. He's always present in Vrindavan, and he's always present with Radha Golokananda. So we can pray to Srila Prabhupada, and we can come and pray to Radha Golokananda. Pray to Radha Golokananda to give us shelter and guidance through this difficult time. So I don't want to take up all the time, and I just want to thank all of you. And like I said, I'm very, very grateful. And I also wanted to mention that some of the most wonderful times I've had in my life have been in the association of Bhakti True Swami and his disciples. Just like Krishna is never alone, and Lord Chaitanya wasn't. So he has taught his disciples to have such a beautiful mood of service and of etiquette. And I feel very happy to be a part of that beautiful family. So thank you.
Here's the picture.
It's up to you. You know the seniority of everybody, so. Let them raise their hand. When you say that loudly so everybody can hear, say loudly if anyone wants. Don't bring the microphone close to me. If anyone wants to speak, please raise your hand.
To begin to describe my beloved Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami, who is the personification of love. Whether you are His disciple or not, His love for everyone is well known through the devoted community worldwide, and His love for His God brothers and God sisters is truly exemplary. I have many very sweet and fond memories of Guru Maharaj in North Carolina. Many years ago, he purchased a home in Durham where he lived for several months. During those months, we would take evening walks at Duke Garden, and when the weather was beautiful, he would give a class or have a picnic for devotees. I remember spending a lot of time at the Durham House with the Bengali boys, listening to Maharaj telling stories of Prabhupada and saying Tava Hantam Rita Taptap Jivanam. In his there are also times cooked for the devotees and would tell us to sit on the floor and personally serve each one of us. That was Maharaj, always taking care of the devotees and showing us how to live a simple life in service to others. Those days were very sweet. On numerous occasions, he would tell me that he actually misses those days. Those days he called the good old days. And yes, they really are the good old days. Guru Maharaj, I will miss your singing, your soothing, beautiful voice that transport us all to the spiritual world. I will miss your class, and I will miss your visit to North Carolina and having you stay with us. But most of all, I will deeply miss those private moments with you when you so graciously allow me to massage your lotus feet. Maharaj, please continue to give me guidance in Krishna consciousness to show me how to live a life in service to other Vaishnavas, and most of all, how to completely surrender under the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will miss you very much, Guru Maharaj.
Jai Hari Bol.
I felt that I must speak here in the assembly of Vaishnavas because I think it's important to honor the great Vaishnavas. And so I just want to share a couple of realizations that I have about Bhakti. His Holiness Bhakti Churi Maharaj. I've been in this community a long time, so I first contact with Maharaj was in 1997. It was a home program. At that time I didn't know anyone's name. I didn't have a name of my own and in spiritual regard, and I just went wherever the devotees took me. But the presence of His Holiness Bhakti Churi Maharaj was, and is, just so completely amazing and sweet. It's like he floated around this world. His voice, his mannerisms, his etiquette, it was just beauty personified. I never seen anyone like that in terms of just the sweetness of his qualities. You met him and you would just know this is such an amazing person, and I'm greatly honored and obliged to the Sotan devotees to have had his association. So at these home programs, sometimes I got to go, sometimes I was called to school and so on. But I never thought really that Maharaj noticed. But this is something I heard, and when I'm hearing remembrances, I also had the experience that he actually noticed that I was there. And sometime years later, I had the opportunity to go to Fiji. And Maharaj there was for the opening of the temple for Radha Rasa.
Goloka Bihari.
Radha Goloka Bihari and Suva. And I saw him on a prasadam. It was just beautiful. So sometime later, he saw me here in New Goloka. And he asked me how I was in Jai Shri. And I was just taken aback because I just didn't expect him to know me. Even though I knew him, I didn't expect him to know me. And I just appreciated that. And I'm hearing from all the devotees just how, just such love and care, and how he knew everyone. And it's just such an example. And so I just wanted to offer my obeisances to you all. And that I aspire to be in your all association, and that we all aspire to be in His Holiness's association, and that, you know, that we're so grateful for the connection of Guru, and that it's by our Guru's mercy that we obtain Krishna, and that, you know, I'm gonna miss seeing him, as of course you all, but that our sampradaya is that Vaishnava is always living in sound, and that we all have this connection with Maharaj, and he made it known to us. And that if we continue to seek each other's association of Guru and Krishna, it will continue to go on life after life. And this is my wish. I thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Would anyone else like to speak?
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Charu Swami Iti Namile. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namile. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adeshatarini. It's very heartbreaking and sad for all of us that we won't have personal association of Maharaj going forward. Yesterday, a lot of senior devotees, Vaishnavas, were describing about glories of Maharaj and the contributions Maharaj has made in the movement. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was describing about yesterday's event itself, and Maharaj was describing that it was the first day of the Chaturmas, it was the Guru Purnima, and he was also describing that it was the disappearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So after that class, I was reflecting that it's not just a coincidence that all this happened, and I was trying to remember of the passing of Bhishma Dev, that how he waited for the sun to appear in the northern hemisphere. And here we see that it was a very, it's a movement. So I was reflecting that it is not just a coincidence, and also Maharaj was describing about his meeting Srila Prabhupada in Prayag. And it is the same place where Srila Prabhupada took initiation. It was, so some of these are not coincidences. Again, I was also reflecting that in Prayag, Lord Chaitanya actually spoke to Rupa Goswami and gave him all these instructions on the devotion. And it's not a coincidence that the first book that Maharaj read was Nectar of Devotion. Specifically, when we hear so many stories or book distribution, that's not typically the first book that we offer to people. It's generally either Bhagavad Gita or some of the other books. So his reading Nectar of Devotion as the first book, as reflecting, it's not a coincidence. The third aspect I was thinking is, as Maharaj was describing also yesterday, that he had this connection, strong connection with Srila Prabhupada and also with Lord Chaitanya. So again, it's not just a coincidence that when he sings this Tav Kathamritam, that reminds me that in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, when King Prataprudha, he sang that, it really touched Lord Chaitanya's heart. So same way when Maharaj sings, it has touched millions of people's heart. So it's not just a coincidence. So devotees like Maharaj, they're Mahabhagavatas, and I was reflecting that whatever activities they do, it's not just mere coincidence. It's an arrangement of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and his own Leela. Thank you very much. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adeshatarini. Bhaktichara Samanaj, you have been a great inspiration in my life in terms of how selfless you are to care for another person, even though you may be in not that comfortable of a situation. You'll just go out of the way to help anyone. Like, every single Maharaj who has been giving lecture always emphasizes how much care and affection you've given all of them. This kind of care and affection, it's unparalleled, and it's very touching to the heart. How, even though that a person might have done something so insignificant, you remember it and feel grateful for that person, and even care for that person. Your attitude is very wonderful, and I simply have no words. I'm falling short of words to explain that particular quality of yours. I have had a few instances with you, and the most remarkable ones were when I saw you first. You were distributing cookies, and you gave one cookie to my hand, and once I ate that cookie, like, I just felt the streak of devotion, and I wanted to touch your feet that day, so I came to you and asked, "May I touch your feet?" And you smiled at me with childlike innocence, and you said, "You may." And I touched his feet, and once I put the dust on my head, I was surcharged with devotional energy, and it was something unparalleled. And when you enter assembly, you walk like an elegant swan swimming in the lake of bhakti. It just swan-like elegancy, and when you walk and sit in the Vyasasan and start Jayaradha Madhava or start your lecture, you just transport us to another world. Just make us forget everything and really get into bhakti. And your smile, when you really smile, just like the arrow of devotion enters, the arrow of love enters your heart, and you're just outcome with bliss. You have, and even in when I see your lectures, not always in person. Person, of course, is wonderful, but when I see it mostly on the internet, even through the screen, it feels like the screen has become purified by your words. Like, and you explain in such a vivid way, I'm falling short of words to explain it, but when you speak, just touches the heart and just gives an impact. And whatever you say, you kind of, like, your mind just grasps it very nicely. I'm really indebted to whatever you have done for me and an insignificant soul like me. And you've always looked at me, offered your garland, and used to lovingly call my name once I had told you, "My name is Ayush." You said, "Oh, Ayush, remember, bhakti is the only gateway to have a successful life." Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. Amazing.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Charu Swami Niti Namini Snigdha Chita Supranita Vagvinam Chara Sapratam Prabhupada Gatabana Nomi Bhakti Charu Padam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vidata Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pacharni Nirvishesha Shumnavari Paschanti Dishatarni. Maharaj, we are completely devastated by your departure. We feel very hopeless and helpless. Our hearts are broken and bleeding. My Guru Maharaj is actually like no other in this world. He's a perfect Vaishnava. He's a pure devotee. He's full of knowledge and the application of that knowledge of the Vedic literatures in our day-to-day life. Maharaj is a perfect Kirtaniya. He's a perfect cook. and he's a perfect leader. I've learned so many things from you, Maharaj, that I remain eternally indebted to you. I remember the first time we met, you had given me some very important philosophical points and some very practical instructions. We have involved so into so many broad projects, that there are multitude of them. I'd like to speak about a couple which actually really touched me. One of them is the Abhicharan series. The Abhicharan series actually connected me with Prabhupada, with Srila Prabhupada. And through Abhicharan I actually got to know the glories, not only of Srila Prabhupada, but your glories, the inspiration and the effort that went into making Abhicharan. And the other broad project was the spiritual cruise that was done in 2012, attended by over 250 devotees and over 9 Maharajas. That was something that was really touching. It was a broad project of taking Harinam on the boat, going harbor to harbor, doing Harinam, preaching to everybody, distributing books and so on. Maharaj, your classes on Srila Prabhupada are very, very inspiring. We're very, very to the point. You have always stressed the instructions given by Prabhupada. Show me your love by cooperating with each other. And you have actually seen, you have actually imbibed that quality within ISKCON with all of everybody. And I remember seeing one instance where you actually made a statement, can't we just all get along? It just showed the love that you had for Srila Prabhupada and for his institution in ISKCON. Maharaj, another thing that you mentioned in your classes is the implicit faith in Mahaprabhu's prediction. Over and over, time and time again, you've said, when Mahaprabhu has said that the holy name will spread in every town and village, without a question, without a doubt, it will happen. We all must have that faith. It is going to happen. The words of Supreme Personality of Godhead can never go in vain. Your instructions, Maharaj, are very clear. There's no deviation, there's no delusion from any of the Vedic instructions. You're so kind, Maharaj, that you engaged me in your service. You instructed me patiently. You overlooked my faults and smilingly gave me instructions. I remember services such as even ironing your clothes. You actually instructed me how that needs to be done. You engaged me in the service of when you were preparing for seminars such as Krishna's pastimes inside Vrindavan or outside Vrindavan. Maharaj, you're always loving, smiling, compassionate and caring. When you sang the Tavakathamritam for the first time, I was immediately overwhelmed and I wanted to know more about the depth of it, and you so very kindly explained. Maharaj made another poem of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur popular. This is from Sharagrahi Vaishnav. And I think the first line is, alas for those who spend their lives in festive mirth and joy. All your experiences with Srila Prabhupada, all of your interactions, instructions, learnings, your intimate pastimes with Srila Prabhupada, you documented in this Ocean of Mercy book. This Ocean of Mercy book, when we read it, we actually absorb, really, I feel like I'm absorbing myself in your pastime and Srila Prabhupada's pastime. Maharaj, you've departed by your own will. Without a doubt, we know that Srila Prabhupada has called you and Krishna has made the arrangements. The only solace is that you are with Srila Prabhupada right now. Generally, we understand that Guru is the one who takes to Krishna. But my prayer is to Krishna to take me to my Guru.
So I'd like to offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, and of course to the lotus feet of Bhakti True Swami. I'm really missing my spiritual uncle right now. And I was here probably in the transition time where he had lived here earlier but wasn't living when I came. But he was always so welcoming and he used to spend a lot of time here. And I just see him very much as this gentle giant, giant in personality and giving, and certainly gentle in the way that he did that. And I'm just, I guess, I feel like, which my spiritual master was mentioning, is that there's a reason behind these situations. And I feel strongly that it's part of, in the insanity of the situation of this world as it is right now, that it's like a call to be family and connected with each other and support each other and care for each other as much as we can, being a part of Prabhupada's family. And I guess one thing that I do remember, I mean, I met him for the first time when I was actually at Krishna Das's house for a home program. And I just remember him singing, and I remember closing my eyes and meditating, and it's something that whenever I do think of him, I think of lotus flowers. It's pretty consistent that, you know, I get that image when I'm thinking of him as lotus flowers. And so when he left and I was at home, I was thinking how much, like, I really wish I'd had the chance to, like, speak to him one more time. But at the same time, I very much felt his presence. And even though we understand, like, you know, I understood that his body may not be active anymore, I felt like his presence was there, and he was saying, "Don't worry. If you need me, I'll be there." And that it was beyond just his instructions. You know, it's beyond just the words. And so, I don't know, just somehow wanting to become more like him and his God brothers, and giving my heart especially to all of his disciples. You know, at such a time that, you know, obviously if there's anything that I can do, which there's probably not much, but, you know, at least maybe you know that my support and my love is with you. So, Hare Krishna.
Again, Timurandasya, Ganagana, Salakaya, Chakshu, and Militam Jena, Tasvai, Sri Guru Ve, Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Itinamane, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Bicharine, Nirvisesha, Shunyavadi, Paskatyade, Story. On this most grief-stricken day of your disappearance, I want to acknowledge and thank you, Bhakti True Swami, for your huge contribution to the ISKCON world. You started your career in 1975 and immediately became one of Srila Prabhupada's most intimate associates and took care of him in his last days, which indicates that you have joined him again because you were one of his associates. Your accomplishments are manifold, from translating books into Bengali, opening temples, transcendental seminars, to uplifting devotees, and of course, your wonderful contribution to the world to give everyone the opportunity to understand who Srila Prabhupada was as your Saktivesh avatar. Most endearing to us in ISKCON is your love and kindness to each and every devotee whose presence you come into your presence to give kindness, love, compassion, service, and spiritual guidance to all. On many occasions, we had the opportunity to take prasadam with you, and it was always very nicely served. And all the six loving exchanges, taking prasad together, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, giving gifts, and accepting gifts, you are very expert in expanding that in our realm. But most of all, what I appreciate is your ability to be like a touchstone. By your mercy, so many of devotees have been touched, and all of your disciples, they have a very amazing ability to accept the qualities that you had. And fortunately, I have the opportunity to have so many friends who are your disciples, including my son's father-in-law. They all are very wonderful souls that imbibe the qualities of pure devotional service, just like you. And so this is not an easy thing to pass on. Your divine qualities of humility, kindness, compassion, love of Krishna, Vaishnava etiquette, service to all, are unprecedented. Srila Prabhupada once mentioned that in a purport that ISKCON is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. And I am clear that you are a huge contribution to the ISKCON world, and you will be appreciated and acknowledged for the next 10,000 years by your wonderful, wonderful contribution. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for giving your eternal association.
Jai. I offer my most respectful obeisances to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami and to all of the assembled devotees. One thing that I'm hearing again and again is the personalism of Maharaj, how he made everybody, like Jai Shri said, he thought, how would he even know me? But he made everybody feel like, yes, I care about you. And he would always ask me how my husband was if he wasn't there. He would always embrace the men that he met and took the time out to be personal like that. And many of you have, and especially Bir Krishna Swami, I really appreciated everything that you said about him and, you know, just his extraordinary glories. But one thing I was thinking, I see that Aditya Narayan Prabhu has these books for sale, and they're very, very wonderful if you haven't read it. But this book came about because, you see, he started speaking. Somebody asked him, can you tell us about Prabhupada? And then after that, other temple, can you tell us? Can you come here? And then his godbrothers encouraged him, you should write a book about your memoirs with Srila Prabhupada. And he finally agreed. And then Kala Chunji, who is Tamal Krishnamaraj's brother, he is the editor of the book, and he told him, I want you to write about your early life. And he said, no, 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 just about when I met Srila Prabhupada. No, we like to hear. So I was thinking, all of us can attest that our childhood and our upbringing, it very much influences our entire life. So I can see that how he was influenced just as he passed away from a contagious disease, so did his mother. When he was only 7 years old, she contracted tuberculosis. And it was so difficult for him because he said, I know she's sick, but why can't I see her? You know, they had to segregate, and yet he went to live with an aunt. And it's very moving. It tells how he snuck away and went into her room just like 3 days before she left, and she embraced him, and, you know, like very, very moving, and how she always used to tell him stories from the Puranas and how to have faith in Krishna and Lord Ram. And at the same time, his father, at that time it was rather new, but his father was in the film industry that was rising in India. So we see how he also went into the film industry in a way. And then his father was fabulously wealthy, but as soon as his mother died, the father became depressed, and he felt that she died because I neglected her so much in favor of my business and my filmmaking. And then they just fell like almost overnight into poverty. And he had been planning his whole childhood that he was going to go to a private school near the Himalayan mountains, a boarding school, and where everything's in English, and he would live there. And his favorite subject of all through high school and college, everything was English, and he loved literature. And we see how much it shaped his life, but how his father was a bit materialistic, and he thought when he couldn't go to that school, he thought, oh no, he had to go to a common public school that we call public school, and he was like, this is so ordinary and boring, that at the end of the year he actually failed, although he was a brilliant student, and that devastated him so much. So he went and emptied his piggy bank and stole some money from his brother's draw, and he went on the train to go to that school. He said, I'm going to beg them, please take me as a student. And when he went to get his ticket, the train ticket office, they said, who's with you? He said, no one. My mother died and my father was called away, but I'm used to traveling alone. But then when he fell asleep on the train later, a group of adults, they had called the police, said, this little boy is traveling all by himself. So they took him and called the dad and everything. But he still, when he grew up, he did go he hitchhiked all the way across the Middle East and everything. And he said, because one of his friends said, you know, India is so backwards. They're backwards and poor and dirty and illiterate. And he said, no, they're not. And he thought, I want to find out. I couldn't defeat him. And I thought, I want to find out what's the real heritage of India. And so he made his way eventually back to India, searching for a guru, kind of like the journey home, Radhanath Swami, meeting, you know, any spiritualist that he could, and even of different religions, you know, Muslim, Christians. But still, he said, I'm looking for a guru, I'm looking for a guru. And then the rest is history when he finally met Srila Prabhupada. But anyway, the most, I'll be brief now, the most heartbreaking thing to me is his disciples. I just can't even talk about them because they're just so glorious. And I'm just feeling for them, the pain, because I know they had a lot of, you know, they're so dear to him because they've brought many people to his lotus feet. And now it's their responsibility to continue being the Shiksha Guru of these disciples. And I know Radhika lived there in Ujjain and personally served him as his secretary, typed his letters of intimate, you know, correspondence with disciples, and they even had their wedding there, and it just breaks my heart. So anyway, all glories to them.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Krishna Dasa Goswami. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Niti Nami. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nami. Yeah. It's still a shock to me. I'm still not able to accept that Maharaj is not around us. It is said that, you know, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. It says lava matra, but my heart says that I don't want lava matra. I want sadhu sangha always, eternally, together. And Bhaktacharya Maharaj is one of those sadhus whom I want to associate eternally, always, not just lava matra. So I have been in this community for around like 10-11 years, and pretty much every year, at least two or three times, Maharaj would come here and is to always enliven devotees with his kirtan and classes, and explaining the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in a very simple and profound manner, and that really sinks in, and it really gives so much appreciation for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that way I had a lot of association of Maharaj. And also when I was in India in 2014 in Mayapur, I had his association when I was doing Navadip Mandal Parikrama. He used to come to different sites and used to give class, used to encourage devotees, tell Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He used to walk with us for some time. And I remember even I held the umbrella for him, like when we are walking from Panchanan Tala to Harihara Kshetra. So Maharaj also walked with us for some time, and I got opportunity to hold umbrella for him for quite a bit of time. And he was talking, he was looking around, he was just appreciating the place, the holy dham. And also at Surabhi Kunj, he recited the poem, of the famous poem written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was so sweet. And also he was glorifying Lord Nityananda Prabhu and how he started the marketplace there. And it was so the samskara, it was so deep. Hearing from him in Holy Dham, it was so profound, and that association will remain with me forever. But still I want more. It's not enough. It's because the people who is very sick, they need very strong medicine, and I am very sick. I need very strong doses of medicine, and I need strong sadhu sangha. So that is what it is. And Bhaktacharya Maharaj is one of those sadhus who can really inject the powerful injection into the spiritual, into our soul, and wake up the spiritual consciousness. He's like that. And also his kirtans are so wonderful that he sings in separation from Krishna. And at Kirtan Mela, he sang so wonderfully that even Panchatattva were in tears. They were in ecstasy. It was a highlight of that Kirtan Mela at that time. Even His Holiness Jayapadaka Maharaj was also there. They were singing one after the other. And it was, the whole Kirtan hall was completely transformed into Nitya Navadvip, where Mahaprabhu and along with associates, they were dancing. And that was like unforgettable moment in my life. And I want more of that. I want forever of that. And I really miss Bhaktacharya Maharaj. I feel like he will come here in next 2 months here. I feel like, I'll meet him in Mayapur. But, it's still not, that thing is not sinking into my consciousness that, he will not come here anymore. Even when I met in Mayapur, he looked at me as if he recognized me, and I told, I'm Adidev Das, I'm from North Carolina. Oh, Radha Golokananda, he said. And it was so nice, he remembered the deities, the first thing he did was he remembered the deities. When I said, I'm from Hillsborough, North Carolina, he said, Radha Golokananda. So his connection with the deities is also very strong. And his mood of separation from Krishna is also very strong. I always want to follow his footsteps and footsteps of his godbrothers and my Diksha Guru and Srila Prabhupada and all the sadhus who are propagating Lord Chaitanya's movement around the world, around the universe. Jai, Srila Bhakti Charupa Arish ki Jai.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glory to Sri Srila Prabhupada and you. When I first got to know the news, I was drowned in shock. All these emotions came rushing inside of me. Sadness, despair, and somewhat joy knowing that you finally went back home, back to Godhead. My entire life you were there with me and my family. You would always be there to give us advice, and you have made such an impact in my path of becoming a better devotee. Ever since I was as young as 6 years old, you have always showered me in love and your blessings. From the cruise to my parents' initiation, to the countless retreats we have attended, my memories with you are unforgettable. You were always caring towards everyone, and especially the kids. I remember in Deland, when someone brought donuts, you cut them up and you gave a piece to all the kids. Every time I see you, my face would immediately light up. When I first heard the news that you were infected with COVID-19, my heart dropped. Something you taught me and Kabir when we were younger was that Krishna always had a plan for you, and yesterday we saw what Krishna had planned for you. Although it fills our heart with great sorrow that you are no longer with us materially, we know that you will always be with us spiritually. Although your time in this material world is over, I'm glad to know that you are reunited with Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. Thank you for forming me into the devotee I am today and always keeping me in your shelter. All glories to you and Srila Prabhupada, your servant Krishnangi.
Hariba.
Hare Krishna, I really believe that today we all feel the same, that we feel so much pain, and I think that it's really okay to feel heartbroken. That's so normal. And one thing that comes to my mind, which facilitates me how I feel, when you love somebody, let them go. It's heartbreaking. Maharaj left us, but now he's with Srila Prabhupada. And from the offering that His Holiness Bir Krishna Maharaj read, actually that offering is from 2012. And we are talking about 8 years when he was having courage and honesty to put that in an offering to Srila Prabhupada so many years ago. That shows that he was meditating to come to be again near to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj is just amazing spiritual gentleman. Whatever he did perfectly. Once when he was giving Bhagavatam class in Juhu temple, it was Diwali time, and outside people were playing this, these fireworks. And Maharaj throne, and even his throne was so beautiful and transcendental. And he commented like, look at this cheap thrill, like in a sense people like are having fun doing fireworks on Diwali. I mean, they're like not so fortunate like to be here in the temple and to listen from Bhagavatam class. But even that he said with so much compassion, with so much love. When Krishna studio was opening in Mumbai, it was a huge program and all the dignitaries were invited. And it was a beautiful prasadam. And every woman was, like, every lady was so beautifully dressed, and all the gentlemen. It was really a huge affair. And Maharaj was on top of that. He was supervising everything, how the prasadam was. He was, like, making sure every single person feels so comfortable. After that, when we went in Pune, we visited some family of devotees, and they were like generation like devotees, and they were disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And the house was very beautiful, I remember, huge, very nicely decorated, and they had very beautiful altar. And on the altar they had these different lights, like one light for Jagannath Balev Subhadra, another for Radha Krishna, for Gaur Nithai. And His Holiness Bhakti Choro Maharaj just looked at me and he said, "What do you think, Govinda?" Oh, I said, "This is like a perfect example of, you know, family of devotees, like children, parents, grandparents, everybody." So, even to encourage me to be inspired to work in Krishna studio as a scriptwriter, Maharaj, you personally gifted me like 3 beautiful silk saris. And that was like kind of, I felt like I got gift from Lord Krishna himself. So at home, me and my husband keep crying, and that's okay. I cry, he is looking at me. He starts crying, I'm looking at him. So we try to consult each other. In public, we try to hold like very strong and not to act sentimental, but we are heartbroken. And when we were coming here today to cook, and I said, "Kalyanji, you and me, we are heartbroken." And actually it's okay, because when we feel the pain that we wanted so much to do until you are here. But also today I told to my husband, it's okay, Maharaj is always going to be here, and even if he is not visible in front of us, we can continue helping his projects. So those thoughts, they give me solace, and I don't want to be boring, but he is one of the 3 my most favorite gurus in ISKCON. So he went to Srila Prabhupada, and that's okay. And we know he did not stop to exist, but he is existing forever, eternally. And he is going to look after us if we stay connected, trying to serve him and what he was doing. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I didn't have so much personal time with Maharaj, but I've constantly been a very ardent admirer from afar. And that began right as soon as my family and I moved here, which was a little over 11 years ago, and he was visiting. And after the morning program, and I don't remember even the class, but Maharaj sat down to sing the bhajan after greeting. And up until that time, I didn't really have so much knowledge about all the Vaishnava bhajans, because even though we had been reading Prabhupada's books for about 5 years, and we hadn't really lived, we didn't live in a community, we didn't have that much association, and, you know, it was just mostly reading and philosophy, and we didn't have any knowledge really about some of the, or any of the bhajans, you know, just Hare Krishna. And he sat down to sing for the deities, and somebody was playing the mridanga, and it was just like all of a sudden this beautiful orchestra started up, because he had some devotees accompany him here, and he started to sing Madhurastikam. And I just, that moment was just like, it's still so vivid in my mind because it was just like, just this unbelievable voice and music and just, you know, he was serenading the deities, and it was just like this whole other realm just sort of opened up. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen or heard before my entire life. And I just was sort of awestruck, because it was just like, I just sort of like another language, you know, this whole other language and this whole other mood and this whole other vision. It's this whole other spiritual vision that was just sort of manifested right there, right in the temple room. And it was just really magical. And then I think maybe the next night, there was an evening program, or that was soon thereafter. It's kind of a blur. And that night, it was a similar situation where he sung some beautiful bhajan. And that night I remember, you know, I dragged the whole family, and my kids were really young. You know, Sundry was like a toddler, and Ishwar Chaitanya was a baby. And somehow we had to come out of the temple room. I think somebody needed something, one of the kids. And then Sundari and I were standing at the bottom, near the bottom of the stairs, in what used to be the pavilion. And it was really interesting, and I'm sure we were talking about it yesterday, and she remembers it well, too. It was sort of like, I don't know, Maharaj was so effulgent, and just like he was coming down the stairs... And it wasn't even, it was like hard to focus on him. And we didn't really realize that that was him until he sort of, somehow he appeared nearby. And then I told her, you know, hit the deck. So we immediately paid obeisances, because then, you know, sort of realized that he was standing, he was coming right for us, actually. And probably because, you know, we were new, and, you know, I don't know, maybe because we just probably looked awestruck. And then when we finally, you know, it seemed like forever we were paying obeisances. And then we looked up, and he was standing. It's a cliffhanger. He said, "What's your name?" I don't even remember what we said. And I can't really recollect the exchange, but just that sort of moment that he just came and he sort of was speaking to us, it was just like blew us both away. And we didn't know exactly, I think we were just kind of too dumbstruck to react. And then not long after that, you know, there was really, you know, I was doing service and had two small children. There really wasn't so much connection. But then I remember being told about the yearly thing that happens in Mayapur around Gaur Purnima, the Shravan Utsav. And he was speaking then, which I think he does every year. He did every year pretty much at the Shravan Utsav. And watching that, it was just such a... And then also, in between all the Gaurakatha, he would sing like all the bhajans. And so it was more immersion in the bhajans and immersion in Gaurakatha. And actually, when I first introduction to the bhajans, you know, I immediately went to the temple gift shop and bought all of the CDs that I could find that were there, and just was, I was listening to him on a continual loop, and I was finding more music on YouTube. And so that sound vibration was just really, for me, extremely instrumental, you know, with our kind of newly found sadhu sangha, that sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration, was just, it was, you know, and even sub... There's that channel from the ear to the heart, and that channel somehow with Bhaktichara Maharaj, his voice and his sound vibration was so direct. It just went in so smoothly and just went right to the heart. So I was always to relish whatever he was saying with full attention. You know, I'm sure maybe you all have that experience too. And the katha and anything he spoke about was just, it was so compelling, and it was just also opened up this whole world, and it was so beautiful. And I remember when the book came out, Ocean of Mercy, and I was really eager to read it, and Mother Krishna Priya kindly let me borrow it, because I don't know where... You know, for the first time, because many times here, you know, I'm packed up with service. I couldn't really hear different, you know, go to places or hear. So I was really ecstatic to have the opportunity to be able to not only hear the Shravan Utsav in person, one, but two, to actually, you know, we just so happened we were staying in that same building. It was being held on the first floor of the building we were staying in, you know. So I just felt like Krishna was given us so much mercy. And it was really unfortunate though, because the Shravan Utsav started, and there was a big poster out front of the building, and you know, he was on it, and he was supposed to be there to give that katha, and I was just like dreaming about it for several days. And you know, because I think it started maybe the following weekend that we arrived, so I was just sort of, I was really looking forward to it, because, I mean, honestly, I don't get a whole lot of time or ability to, unless it's, you know, on my phone with earplugs or as I'm doing something, to... Thank you. Prabhupada app, and I know all the disciples are, you know, they're so such wonderful servants. You know, it's really such a testament to their love and their you know, humility and their willingness to serve. You know, in the Guru Maharaj's mission. And I'm absolutely positive that they'll continue to do so. And perhaps someday it would be really a wonderful service for many persons, such as myself, who were only really able to associate with Maharaj through that transcendental sound vibration, to have a similar thing like is for Srila Prabhupada, which is an app, which just has all sort of ongoing lectures, and bhajans, kirtans, and so many things. And you can, you know, it's nice to just be able to, instead of having to find things, and maybe it's interrupted, but you can just turn it on anytime, anywhere, and you can hear constant sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration from this pure devotee. So I'm also just wanted to again send my condolences and express my gratitude and love for all of his disciples that are here in our community, because each and every one of them is just so deep. Because I feel like dasanu dasanu das for the Vaishnavas, and also His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami, who has left our close association. Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Dichandrayan Prabhu, why don't you say something? What's that? No.
I'll just speak loudly. I have just one very, very small thing to say. Dear Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, it appears that you left, but really there are hundreds and thousands of you all around us in the forms of your disciples. And I am so grateful for your association. Your association is my saving grace. Your association is your Guru Maharaj's association. So thank you so much for coming to this temple. Thank you so much for your service to Radha Golokananda and to the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.
Say something, or Pushpanjali, or Pushpanjali? Okay, so why don't you tell everybody what we're going to do?
You are And the way we'll do it is one family can come together, offer Pushpanjali, and then go back to your place. We'll do one family at a time.
Okay, you want me to say the prayers?
Okay. So Maharaj is repeating that we all need to observe social distancing. So as I requested, maybe we'll start from this side and then families can come together, offer, and please come back to your place and then the next family. So that way we still maintain our distance.
Maybe instead of at the end of those prayers, throughout the prayers.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone repeat responsibly, and then throughout the prayers, everybody can come up one by one. Please keep 6 feet between you and wear your masks. I can't wear a mask while I'm speaking, I start to get dizzy. So, with that. So everybody can come up one by one, offer flowers while we're reciting the prayers.
We can start and the petals are here. So
yeah, the petals are there, so please make a line. Om Magana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishta Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Yuta Parakamalam Shiguru Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Kamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parishada Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namate Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Sharane Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Vishatalane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swamin Iti Namane
Snigdha Cheta Supraneta Vagvinam Chara Saplutam Prabhupada Gata Prana Naomi Bhakti Charupadam
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Iti Namane Shivarshavanavi Doivi Oitaya Prabhupada Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhavai Namaha Madhurya Uchvala Primajya Shirupanuga Bhaktida Shigora Purana Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gurubani Shimurtehe Dinatarane Upanuga Gurudapa Siddhanta Vantaharane Namo Gurukishoraya Sakshadvairagya Murtehe Vipralamba Prasambode Padambujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchinananda Namane Purashakti Surupaya Rupanuga Purayate Gora Avirbhava Umestvam Nideshta Sajana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Panchakappa Hirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Panchatattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Sadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Krishna Namaha Hey Krishna Varana Sindho Vinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sulatau Pangor Mama Manda Mategrati Matsarvashra Padambojao Radha Madana Mohana Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadaha Srimad Ratnagara Sinasanasta Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Prishtalibi Sivyamana Narami Sriman Rasa Rasarambi Vamshivata Katastitaha Darshan Venu Swinaira Gopir Gopinatha Shriya Istunaha Tata Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prasaya, Bhutale, Srimate, Bhakti Charu Swami, Iti Namine.
Nigdacheta Supraneta, Vagvinam Charasaputam, Rupadgata Prana, Nomi Bhakti Charupadam.
So normally we would all throw flowers at this time and say, Ishat Pishpanjale, Ishat Pishpanjale, Ishat Pishpanjale, and then we offer obeisances to Holiness Bhakti Chumaraj and Divine Grace of God. And then the Pranam mantras again. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Iti Namine
Snigdha Cheta Supraneta Vagvinam Charasablutam Prabhupad Gata Prana Naomi Bhakti Charupadam
Isha Pushpanjale Isha Pushpanjale Isha Pushpanjale Jai Jai Bhakti Charu Maharaj Ki Jai. One more time. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Iti Namine
Snigdha Cheta Supraneta Vagvinam Charasaplutam Prabhupada Gata Prana Naomi Bhakti Charupadam
Isha Pushpanjale Isha Pushpanjale Isha Pushpanjale Jai Shri Bhakti Charu Maharaj Ki Jai Shri Bhakti Ki Jai.
Shri Guru Charan Padma Kebhavate Sarma Guru Charana Padma Kebala Bhakti Padma
Thank you. Yeah.
Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gara Bhakta Vinda Krishna.